Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week in the Gospel, if you were here, you heard that Jesus was eating at a Pharisee's house, having dinner with them, teaching them, telling them parables. Jesus was happy to accept the invitation of the Pharisees, who were the good people in Israel, the law-abiding citizens, whom everyone looked at and said, "Now those are good people." He was happy to eat with them, to dine with them, to teach them, to associate with them, even though most of the time when they invited him, it was to catch him in some kind of a trap. And even though most of them at the end of the day didn't believe Jesus' words and didn't want him for a savior, no matter. He was happy to eat with them because that's why he came into the world, to call them to repentance so that they might recognize that they were sinners too, so that they might be saved through faith in him. Well, Jesus was just as happy to have the well-known open sinners in his company, including thieving tax collectors and notorious prostitutes, to associate with them, to dine with them, to talk with them, to teach them. And his message to those open sinners was essentially the same as his message to the righteous-looking Pharisees. None of you are actually righteous before God. None of you have earned with your works God's favor. None of you, by your works, are acceptable to God. You haven't been good enough to earn his favor, and you can't be good enough to earn his favor, because you're all sinners. And because you're all sinners, you stand condemned before God's holy law. So if you will be saved, there must be another way for you to be saved than God's holy law. And that's what he came to tell them. Repent and believe the good news that I have come to save you from your sins, both the public ones and the private ones, both the ones that the whole country knows about and the ones that only you and God know about, and even the ones that you don't know about, but that only God knows about. I have come to help you, to offer you a daily clean slate before God, the sure hope of eternal life, and the beginning of a holy life here on earth. Believe in me. So Jesus preached to everyone. And many of these tax collectors and prostitutes and well-known sinners did believe in Jesus. At very least, many of them were drawn to Jesus' preaching and kept coming to him, wanting to hear more. And this you have to remember: Jesus never sent away any who came to him. When the Pharisees saw Jesus not sending away those tax collectors and sinners, when he saw Jesus surrounded by these people, they grumbled and complained, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You have to understand why that bothered them so much. The Pharisees, according to their doctrine, according to their beliefs, had nothing to offer thieving tax collectors and prostitutes and miserable sinners. They believed that the path to salvation was paved with good works and a good life on this earth. So it was too late for people who had messed up so badly. They didn't even want such people to be saved, because they didn't believe in a God who would allow such sinners into his house. So Jesus tells these parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And after that, the parable of the lost or prodigal son. A shepherd has 100 sheep. One goes missing. So he leaves the 99 in the pasture and goes out searching for the one until he finds it. Now, any shepherd would do that, as all of them knew. No shepherd would be content to let a sheep wander off without searching for it, even if he had 99 perfectly good sheep in his presence. So also, God says through the prophet Ezekiel that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. God, unlike the Pharisees, does not easily give up on the one who wanders away from his sheepfold, who turns away from God to his idols, who indulges his sinful desires, who acts wickedly toward his neighbor, who wallows in the mud of his sins. On the contrary, God sent his word to the holy prophets to call the wicked in Israel to turn from their ways and live. Then he sent his own son into the world to search for sinners and to preach the same word of repentance to them, and more than that, to suffer and die for their sins, so that they should be forgiven and saved by faith alone in him. And now he still searches for his lost sheep through the preaching of the gospel in all the world. And this is the message: turn from your sins and take refuge in Jesus Christ, who suffered for you. Believe in him and so be clothed with his perfect righteousness before God. Learn from him that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In him you will find full and free forgiveness, as he promised through the prophet Isaiah long ago. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. For Christ's sake, you will find a loving Father in heaven who knows all the evil you have done and still will take you back and make you holy in his sight through faith in Christ Jesus. Now in the parable, when the shepherd finds his lost sheep, he puts it up on his shoulders, carries it home rejoicing, and celebrates. So also, God's chief purpose in sending his son into the world was not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when a sinner repents and believes in Christ, God doesn't grudgingly take him back into his house. He rejoices. He celebrates. He is thrilled to have the sinner back. And all the holy angels and all the saints and true members of the Christian church rejoice together with God to the praise of God's glorious grace. But the Pharisees in the gospel weren't rejoicing to see the lost being found. They wanted to believe that heaven was only for righteous, just people like them who had no need of repentance. But Jesus tells them the hard truth. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You who think you are just and righteous, you who pretend that you need no repentance and that God should be happy to have people like you in heaven with him, you're the ones who are fooling yourselves, Jesus says. You're the ones who bring no joy to heaven at all. The second parable was similar to the first. The woman who had 10 silver coins and lost one of them in her house. Here Jesus makes it clear that no one is worth more or less than anyone else. 10 silver coins. Every soul is valuable to God. Everyone is worth saving. Christ shed his blood for everyone, and he has his gospel preached to everyone so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What Christ has done for sinners is actually much more than that shepherd did in the parable or that woman did in the parable. The shepherd took time and effort and care to go looking for his sheep. The woman took time and effort and care to go looking for her lost coin. But Christ Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh in the first place, became man, spent his entire earthly life serving lost sinners, sacrificed his own life on the cross for lost sinners, and now spends the rest of this earthly age ruling at God's right hand and sending the light of the gospel out into the world, searching, sweeping the earth, until he finds another lost soul whom the Holy Spirit will enlighten with his gifts, another lost soul who will turn in faith to Christ and be found. You see, in both parables today, how serious God is about the sinner's salvation. He doesn't send anyone away who comes to him and wants to hear him. At the same time, he isn't looking for mere onlookers. It won't do anyone any good in the end to remain on the fringe of Christ's kingdom. Christ is searching for participants in his church, for people who will value him highly enough to follow him into his kingdom, to cling to him above all things. He's looking for those who will faithfully conform all their life to the rule of the divine word, to be diligent in the use of the means of grace, to walk in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to the triune God, even to death. Natalie, Andrew, Vanessa, I hope you recognize those words from the confirmation rite. That's exactly what you are about to confess before this Christian congregation that you're ready to do. You were baptized into Christ years ago, but then wandered away from his word and sacrament for a time. Now you have been drawn back to Christ by the word of his gospel, and he hasn't sent you away. Instead, his Holy Spirit has worked powerfully in your heart so that you're ready to confess him publicly with one voice, together with all the members of this congregation. And what the Pharisees in today's gospel said of Jesus in complaint, you will gladly and thankfully confess together with us for all eternity. This man receives sinners and eats with them. More than that, this man, Christ Jesus, is also true God, who gives his very body and blood for sinners to eat and to drink in his holy sacrament. Heaven rejoices over you today, and so do we. May God's Holy Spirit preserve us all in daily contrition and repentance, clinging to Christ in faith, until he carries us on his shoulders safely into his heavenly home in everlasting life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.